Hey, welcome to another Finance Friday. Jerry Fetta here, owner, founder, and CEO of Wealth Dynamics. Hey, I'm coming to you this week with another Finance Friday. As usual, every Friday we do these courses because financial education is important. Your financial IQ is one of your most important investments, right? Now, if you don't know me, I have a company called Wealth Dynamics, and our focus and my vision is a planet where the majority of wealth is controlled by good people who use it to make the world a better place, right? And this is something that you can actually go back throughout history and see, right? You can see people that have done this or people that have done the opposite, right? We hear a lot of times, those that build wealth, they're evil, and they have bad intentions, and they're going to take over the world, and they secretly pull the strings behind society and manipulate everything, and it's this big conspiracy theory, right? Here's the problem. Okay, I believe that probably 80% of people are good. Like most people are good people. You see 10 people, there's two of them that are probably assholes, right? And so that's 8 out of 10 that are good. And if we took the 8 out of 10 that were good and we taught them how finances work, we taught them how to build wealth like the top 1%. We taught them, how to invest, how to reduce their taxes, how to achieve passive income, all these things. With that larger group of people, it wouldn't be that hard for the majority of wealth to be owned by good people. Good people do good things, right? As if you're watching this and you're a good person, that's my goal, that's my vision, is to help you, right? And it starts with financial education, it starts with financial awareness, right? Real quick, I want to give you guys my backstory for a little bit if you've not seen my material content before, right? So if you're new, I was a financial advisor for a number of years. Right. I was licensed for investing and I did retirement planning. I worked with Dave Ramsey in several states. I've worked with Grant Cardone. I've been on the Forbes, Financial Council, Inc. 5000. I'm a published author of 5 books. And I didn't start that way. Right. And so this goes all the way back to the year, I was 8 years old. Because I think back to being 8 years old around that time, all in the same summer, my mom and dad got divorced. Right. We lost the house. The house got foreclosed on. The car got repoed. I was homeless on my mom's side and on my dad's side. Right. All in the same year. And this was because of money. This was related to finances. And I didn't have an example of financial success. So what I did was I quit on money at a very early age. Okay. Fast forward to when I was maybe 16, 17 years old, I learned that the US dollar was not backed by anything. And so I again made the decision, why would I spend my life trading time for Monopoly paper, right? That doesn't make any sense to me. So I made the decision I wasn't going to do that, right? Now, I got married early at the age of 18, 19 years old. I got married and I was homeless within 6 months, okay, sleeping in an abandoned house. And it was in that moment that I realized this money thing doesn't go away. It's not going to just disappear. I'm not going to suddenly win the lottery. I'm not going to get some random inheritance. I've never had any of those things. If you're like me, you didn't get that stuff, right? I didn't go to college, right? I was a C average student. I grew up in Alaska. So the odds of me, really making it, really building wealth, really being successful financially and in life, I didn't think it could happen. But I had to take a look at the fact that I've now been homeless twice, right? In what is that, the last decade of that period of time? I need to figure out something different. And that's when I realized we all have three choices with money, right? We have the choice of poverty, right? You can choose not to participate, much like I did, right? We have the choice of denial. Okay, this is probably 90% of America, right? Sweep it under the rug, work the bare minimum, bring in a good wage, pay the car payment, pay the mortgage, do the stuff so that you feel comfortable and you don't think that, no one else thinks that you're not doing well, and meanwhile, you've got credit cards and student loans and whatever, and you're not building anything financially, right? That's denial. And then the final option, which I hadn't really confronted before, was wealth, financial wealth, right? And so I became a financial advisor. I set out and I got licensed. I started studying. I took the tests. I started learning about finances, and I learned two very important lessons, okay? One of them was the basic financial behaviors in education were just that. They were basic. They weren't complicated. It's stuff that when I learned it, I was like, man, I really wish that my family knew this. I really wish that my mom and dad knew this. I really wish that the people I cared about knew this. Right? And because they didn't, I experienced what I experienced growing up. And I knew that now I had this information, I could make a difference. I could change things. I didn't have to keep living the same way. Okay, now the second thing I learned, and it was a number of years later, right? My mom was my first client. And she supported me with my business. She did her retirement account with me. And so she had some money in her retirement. And if you know the retirement game, right, you put the money in the account, and when you're 60 years old, you can start pulling money out of it. Right. And so we did everything by the book. The house she sold, the retirement account was funded, it was growing every year. And we'd meet and take a look at it. And when she turned 60 years old, which is the year she could have started taking money out of this, she was diagnosed with stage four cancer. Okay, within 6 months, she had passed away. And I watched the plan, right? The thing that we were taught to do, the thing that I was teaching other people to do, I watched it unfold and not work with my own mother. And it was in that moment that I realized that that's not how I want to have it happen. Right? Because the number one fear of any retiree is running out of money, right? Outliving your savings, outliving the nest egg, outliving the investments, and having, you're 75 years old, but you still have 5 more years left, and there's not 5 years of money in your account. That's the retiree's number one fear. Okay? So they want to essentially die before the money runs out. That's the American dream, to die before the money runs out. Now, the flip side of that, the number two fear of a retiree is not living long enough. Right? So there's this tiny little period of time where we get what's called life. You did your 40 years. Finally, you can travel. You can enjoy it. You can do the things you want to do. I didn't want to do that. I watched that not work with my mom. And so I started to research and learn. And I started to understand that the retirement accounts, the stock market, the mutual funds, the bank products, none of the wealthy actually use those things. When I started studying the top 1%, I started studying the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, the JP Morgans, the Vanderbilts, the top corporations in the world, the top banks in history. I started to see some common things, right? And those common things had to do not just with behavior, because the behavior is across the board. You could do nothing with your money other than learn about finances by studying the right source, earning abundant income, saving a high percentage of that income, investing in things that produce and don't lose. If you do that, you're just fine. Right? But there's also little things you can do as tools, as strategies that will enhance those behaviors. They won't change them. There's no way to not ever earn income. If you're not saving money, like, good luck. If you're not investing or you're losing your money in your investments, good luck. Right? But if you were to look at this and say, okay, well, I'm doing those things, how do I enhance it? That's what the 1% have figured out. And so I spent the last 10 plus years of my life studying the historical top 1% to find out what is it that they do with their finances? What are the strategies they're using? Right? And so what I want to lead into today is I had a client of mine. I've been doing this now for many, many years. We've been helping clients all over the world at this point. With investing and becoming their own bank, investing like a bank. And you'll hear me talk about this tonight because that really is the idea, right? If you look at the most profitable institutions on the planet, they're banks. And it's one of those things where if it works for them, it probably would work for us if we copied it, right? So I had a client reach out to me today and he's like, hey, I've got $30,000. What do I do with it, right? And I thought that was a really good question. So I want to actually share with you the whiteboard of what would Jerry Fetta do with $30,000. Okay, so check this out. All right, so my first question is a couple of things if I'm looking at this. The first thing that I want to know is I want to know, where did it come from? Right, where did that $30,000 come from? Okay, because that's going to tell me a lot of things. Is it going to come back anytime? Can I repeat that action? Right. So if it came from something like, let's say, an inheritance, right? I inherit the $30,000. It's going to be tough for me to say, cool, I'm going to do that. I'm going to repeat that action. I can't get someone to die again. Right. I wouldn't want to, but you know what I mean? It's not a successful thing that I can be like, I have control over inheriting money. Okay. So did I inherit it? Or did I win it? Was it a lottery thing? Or did I marry it? Right? Or did I invest and get it that way? Or did I earn it? Like, I want to figure out what was the source of this money. Right? Now, I'm hoping that I either invested it or earned it. Those are two actions I can repeat. If I earned and made $30,000 appear, that's something I can continue to do. If I invest and make $30,000 appear, that is something that hopefully I can continue to do, depending on what I invested in. Right? So a lot of questions come up. Now, the very first thing I ask is, where did it come from? Okay. Now, the second thing I want to know is, I want to know what's the purpose of it. Right? Because here's the thing, $30,000 is enough to make some really good decisions or some really bad decisions. Right? I've made both with my finances before. So I want to know, what is the purpose of the money? Right? Why do I want to know that? I want to know what the purpose of the money is because I want to figure out, like, do you want to buy a house with it? Are you trying to put this away for retirement? Is this earmarked for a business investment? Is this, money for your child's college? Like, what is the goal here? Right? Because when we're asking, okay, we're investing money or we're going to allocate money, it needs to do the thing we need it to do. I'm sure you can agree with me on that. So if I'm saying, hey, I want to invest, I want passive income, I want to have that money supplementing my lifestyle and increasing my quality of life today, right? Then I'm not going to put it in a retirement account that I can't touch till I'm 60. Do you see that? Or if I'm like, I want to grow the money, good, then I'm not putting it in a bank account. I can't have growth and a bank account. You see? Right? So I want to know, again, what is the purpose of the money? Now, attached to that purpose typically is going to be a timeline. Right? Timeline or event. Right? What is the timeline or event? When am I going to need it? Right? If it is more than 5 years, right? That's going to give me a lot more options. However, if it is less than 5 years, I have a lot less things I can do with it. Right? If I'm going to invest, I need to have at least a 5-year timeline on my investment. I need to be willing to have that locked up for 5 years or more. Locked up figuratively, meaning whether it is or isn't, I want to leave it there for 5 years. I don't want to put it in and take it out. Right? So these are things that I'm asking and I'm trying to figure out and understand. Okay, so this is my third question. Now, my fourth question is this. Do you have consumer debt? Right? And if we do, I'm going to take a look at that. Now, this is not Dave Ramsey, cut up your credit cards and get rid of them. This is, you could be your own banking system. And you may very well be. If you're watching my content, you might already have something like that going. If you own your own bank, why would you be doing business with your competition? You see, why would you be using someone else's bank? Why would you be borrowing their deposits instead of the deposits in your bank account, your banking system? Right? So what I'm looking at is with this 30,000, I want to understand these questions. If I've got no consumer debt, good. I get it. I can do more with the money. Okay? So here's the first thing I'm looking at. I'm going to look at, okay, with 30,000, I've got a couple of options, right? The first thing is I could be putting it into what's called the sacred account. Right, the sacred account. So this is a life insurance policy. It's a high early cash value dividend paying whole life insurance policy. I can put money in. It's guaranteed against loss, guaranteed to grow, protected from taxation, protected from volatility, protected from creditors, protected from lawsuits, protected from death, right? Like, it's protected from a lot of things. The safest place I can put my money. I will not lose. It's impossible, right? So I'm going to tag it there first. And the reason why is when I tag it here, I can earn 3 to 5% on my money. While I'm doing that, I can borrow against that money and I can be paying typically 2 to 4% in net interest cost. And I can go do smart things with it. So I'm making 3 to 5% here. It's costing me 2 to 4, and I can go make, let's say, 8 to 12 on an investment. Right? Or I could pay off a credit card that might be a 20% interest rate. Right? But what I'm doing here is I'm double dipping with my money. I've got the money growing at 3 to 5. And while I use it, it still grows. You see, when you put money in a bank account, You can't pull it out and it's still gross. Doesn't work that way. When you put money in the stock market, you can't withdraw the cash and it's still gross, right? So with this, you can. You put it in there, it grows, and then you borrow against it and you use that to do smart things and you pay yourself back with the profits from those smart things. Now, that's what banks are already doing when you put money in their banking system, right? So if I'm doing this and I have a sacred account and I've got 30 grand, okay, I'm probably going to be looking at doing like on the 30,000, I'm going to do a $20,000 lump sum. And then I'm going to do a $10,000 annual contribution. Okay, what that does is that takes my 30,000 and it fully puts it into my life insurance policy. I can immediately borrow, it's going to immediately start growing, right? And I can start using that. Let's say I have 30,000 in credit cards. I can now borrow against the 30 that's in there, put that towards the credit cards. The money I borrowed still grows. I no longer have credit card interest. Then I pay myself back with whatever the payments were from the credit card, right? So that's option one on this, right? Is putting it in the sacred account. Okay. Now, the great thing with this is it is also liquid, meaning I can access it right away. Liquid. I can borrow against it immediately. I can use it immediately. Okay. That's great because if my timeline is less than 5 years, I want to have access to the money right away. This is a great way to do that. Now, also, if my timeline's greater than 5 years, this is not something that I'm doing instead of investing. It's in addition to. So I can do my investments that are on a 5 year or longer timeline and still have this tool being used for that. Right? So that's my first option because it's liquid. Now, what would be my second option? A little bit less liquid, right? On 30,000. Okay, I would be looking at precious metals. Right? Now you're probably sitting there and you're like, why would you buy precious metals? You know where the United States dollar comes from, that Federal Reserve Bank thing, the central bank that we all get our currency from? They have 80% of their reserves in gold. Right? Like that's considered a tier one asset. It's as safe as the US Treasury. It's one of the longest, most established asset classes on the planet. It's been around 6,000 years, right? And over the long haul, precious metals have seen, since we've been allowed to own them again, eight. To about 10% annual returns. Obviously, that's a compounding annual growth rate. You still have volatility and movement in your pricing. So don't robotically be like, I'll make 8% every year if I buy gold. No, you won't. Some years you're going to make 30. Some years you're going to make 5. Some years it's 8. Some years you'll lose some on gold, right? The price can move. It's fluctuating. Different than the sacred account. The sacred account, the price cannot move, right? Now, the cool thing with precious metals, you can lease them out, meaning you can earn the 8 to 10%, plus you can earn 1 to 3% on your lease income in addition to that, and still own physical gold, right? A lot of people don't know that you can generate income from gold, right? You can generate income from silver. Okay. Now, the other thing you can do is you can borrow, right? You can borrow against your precious metals. Right now, the interest rates are very high right now. So I wouldn't recommend this for most people at this point in time. If I was doing precious metals, I would be buying and holding or leasing today. I wouldn't be borrowing. Right. But if I am borrowing and rates are low, I might get a 5 or a 6 or a 7% interest rate. Similar to the sacred account, I can borrow against it. I can then put that in real estate that maybe pays me 8 or 10 or 12, and I pay myself back with the profits. Right. It's the system of becoming your own banker. Right, realize we already do this with our money. We're just changing one thing. Right, we already deposit our money in a bank account. Right, so we're just changing the location of where you put the money. You put it in your sacred account first, you put it in your precious metals first. Right, both of these are going to earn income. The sacred account earns interest and dividends. Right, the metals, they earn lease income and appreciation. Both of them I can borrow against, right? Both of them still grow while I borrow against them, right? So these are great strategies. Now, the precious metals, the leasing and the owning and stuff, I would be looking at 5 years or more, Right, I would not buy these. And this is what I told this particular client. I was like, hey, if you want to use this now and you're like, hey, this summer I need the money back, don't do metals. Why? Right? A, you're going to pay commissions on metals. You're buying a item, a commodity. There are markups. You're never going to buy metals at spot price. It's impossible. Unless you're a gigantic billion or sorry, million-dollar buyer like a mint or a huge dealer, right? You're never going to get that kind of pricing on metals. So if you're not going to get that kind of pricing, you're going to pay a premium. And so it's a question of, well, how much do you pay? Is it 2 or 3 or 4 or 5% more than the actual spot price? And if you're going to lose, let's say 5% going into it, which is fine on the long haul because you're not paying a lot of fees to own it, right? But if you're going to lose 5% immediately, you don't want to sell it in 6 months and not have recouped your 5%. You're actually going to have less money than you started with. So this is a long game. You want to keep that for the long haul. Okay, so that's the metals, right? Now, the third one you can look at is real estate. Okay, now do not take $30,000 and go to a rental property. To do real estate, you need at least 50,000. 50,000, preferably, I would like to see you start with 150,000. Right, I'm going to tell you why. Right, on real estate, if you put in $30,000, let's say you can get a 12% cash on cash return, you're going to make $300 a month on a long-term deal. You're going to be in this 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, maybe even 20 years, who knows? Right? 300 bucks a month, 300 bucks a month. That's what 12% is on 30,000. It's going to take you a long time at $300 a month just to get your 30,000 back. Right? Now, if you do real estate the wrong way, it's going to cost you time, it's going to cost you money, it's going to cost you stress. And so this is one of those investments that's really romanticized, and it's not typically a real passive income stream. It's pretty active. The people that I know that invest heavily in real estate, they're pretty active with it. Right now, unless you invest in real estate like the bank. Okay, the bank does mortgages. They're not buying rentals, they're doing mortgages. So if you want to do seller finance, that's another story, right? There's a way for you to go about doing that. Now you would need at least 50,000 to start with that, and I would prefer you do 150, right? And the reason is this: at 150, right, you've proven that you can earn and save enough money to repeat the successful action of getting money for real estate. If you can't accumulate another 50,000, you're not going to invest very quickly. If you can accumulate 150 and you can prove to yourself, I can do this. I can build up this kind of money. I can earn this kind of money. I can save this kind of money. And I put it to work. Now I'm earning 1500 a month, right? At 1500 a month, like I can invest in another property sooner. You see what I mean? Plus, if I've got the earning power and the saving power to build up to 150, I can supplement that with the new income I'm getting from the real estate. That's going to get me in quicker. Right? So it's about how many more properties can I stack up and add into the portfolio that I have. Right? So I'm about to do three homes, right? 150 or so for me. And that's going to pay me about $1,500 a month. Now, the cool thing I'm going to do, and this is the hack I want to show you. I dumped it in here first. Then I'm going to do this, right? Because I want to earn the 3 to 5% on this, plus I want to earn the 8 to 12% on this at the same time on the same dollars, right? That's a much higher return. That's called arbitrage, right? Now, here's the thing. If you get into real estate wrong, you can lose money. I have lost money in real estate. I can tell you it's not fun. Right? So you have to really understand, like, what are your downsides on the real estate? What are your timelines? I believe for me, this is going to be a 10 to 20 year deal. Right? But I'm not interested in my principal. I've got my principal growing in two locations at the same time. I'm good with that. I'm interested in the income. Because that $1,500 a month improves my quality of life today. You see what I mean? It improves my quality of life today. It improves the quality of life for my loved ones today. It helps me make the quality of life for the world around me better today, not when I'm 60. That's why I keep saying today. You don't need to wait till you're 60. Now, if you do this wrong and you lose money in real estate or you lose money in an investment because you've got your 30,000 and it's burning a hole in your pocket and you're like, I need to put it somewhere. It's got to go somewhere. And you lose it and you have not taught yourself to earn and save to build up to that 150 mark and be able to get a $50,000 amount every 18 months or so through your saving and investing and another new 50, right? What's going to happen is you're going to turn into a victim investor. You're going to blame other people. You're going to stop investing, right? You're going to experience loss and you're going to be like, oh, I'm never doing that again. And then your solution is going to be to stick it in the bank where you're guaranteed to lose. Doesn't make any sense. So do this the right way the first time, right? Using the sacred account, you guarantee your asset. Using something like seller finance backed by a real property, you're guaranteeing your asset. Right? You can't guarantee performance, but you can guarantee the asset. The real estate will be there. Right? So guys, that's all I've got for you this evening. I do want to let you know if you're watching this Finance Friday this week, I want to give you a free copy of my book, The Blueprint to Financial Freedom. Right? So if you enjoyed this content, if you enjoyed this material and you want to learn more about that, grab the book. This is written in a way to tell you exactly what I've learned. Guys, it took me 10 years. 10 years of study to really figure this out and start applying it to my own finances. And it's something that with that amount of time, it's not workable for the average person to go learn for 10 years before they figure out how to build financial wealth. Right? So if you're interested in the free copy, what I want to do here is I'm going to share my screen. And I want you to go to jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. Right, that's jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. That's right up here in the address bar, jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. You can get the book for free. You cover your shipping. We'll send the book out to you. Right. And then there's a ton of value you're going to get with the book in addition that we're not going to charge for. It's just value to help you out. Right. But this is exactly what it says, a step-by-step guide toward achieving passive income that exceeds savings, expenses, and taxes. Right. So, guys, again, that's jerryfetta.com/B2F promo. I'll put that on the whiteboard really quickly if you're watching this. And if you are watching this and you've been building up money and you're like, what do I do with my savings? Right? How do I start generating passive income? Right? Do I do real estate? How do I become my own bank? Right? How do I do these things? What I want you to do is grab the book, right? Go to my YouTube channel, go to my TikTok, follow some of my content, get into learning mode. You don't need to get in touch with us right away until you feel like you're ready to, but my team can help you with these things. Right? So if you're interested, connect up with us, get the free copy of the book. That's all I got for you this week. Thank you for watching. Like, share, subscribe, and I will see you next time.